We actually saw Pete Seeger for the first time in the Music Barn in Lenox, Mass. And Pete just invited us to a concert. He said, next week we're going to have a little get-together in Garrison in the home of Alexander Saunders Sr. Everybody's welcome to come. So we went. And that was the beginning of Clearwater. That concert was the one that he passed the hat around, and he said, we're going to build this boat. It's amazing. And seemed like a good project. Pete was talking about sailing this historic replica on the river, painting this visual image of these sloops sailing on the river. Pete, I'm sure, had in his mind from the very beginning that when the boat comes into town, people will come down to see it. And that's his way of getting people to see the river and start to appreciate the river. And river is a sewer. We got to clean it up. Seemed interesting to me. He said, anybody want to be involved, come into the dining room, and we're going to try and organize a corporation. And I go in, and I sign the certificate of incorporation. We're going to have a big fundraising concert. We need a field. We got to find this field. We got to get permission to use a field. Sandy Saunders lives in Garrison, and he knows Bill Osborne, and we have an appointment to meet Bill Osborne at night. And we go up a very steep hill, and we arrive at Osborne Castle. It's a real castle, dark inside. This old guy comes and opens the door. He's wearing a bathrobe. It's cold. He's got a fire going. And it's like a scene out of Cinderella. And he says, yes, we can use this field. We need a stage. Could make a little square stage. But what we could do is we could take Sandy's hay wagon and cut some plywood for the side and hang blue cloth, because it'll look like water, put up a mast and put up a boom. And now we got something that looks like a boat. And that hay wagon is a stage. We get a booth at the Dutchess County Fair. We hook the hay wagon to the back of some vehicle, and we take off for Rhinebeck. And we're going up 9G, and the hay wagon has the two front wheels on a bar so that it can turn. We're going not very fast. The thing is oscillating up the road behind us. The cop stops us. What are you doing? Who are you? The cop asks all these questions. The cop finally says, you have so many violations here, it would take me too long to write you up. And he lets us go. Pete contacted Cyrus Hamlin, who was a naval architect. And Hamlin designs plans. And then we found Harvey Gamage. Gamage builds a boat. It's a legitimate boat building. Once it's got all the weight of the mast, the Coast Guard does a stability test, and it's okay, it floats. Pete finds Alan Onapu. Alan's the captain. He's a licensed captain by the Coast Guard. This is a licensed vessel. This is not some toy. It starts down the coast. It's a musical crew, so that when they go into a town, it does fundraising concerts. There was a yacht club. You're coming in amongst these boats. We're under sail, and at some point that only Alan knew, he drops the sails. And so now the sloop is no longer under sail, but it has the momentum of whatever it had. And we had to go another 1,000 feet. The sloop goes and makes that first right turn, makes the second right turn, and right at that dock, there's this big wooden boat just coasts to a dead stop right where it's supposed to. It was the most beautiful, kind of magical thing. That it ends perfectly. And all these boat owners that are standing on this pier, they applaud. We're going to sail to Washington for the very first Earth Day, April 1970. All sorts of U.S. representatives are invited, as well as their staff. Pete and Kirk are going to put on a show. They write a script. They practice it. There's music. And it's about how dirty the river is and how it needs to be protected by the U.S. government. We leave Beacon. We're heading to Washington, D.C. And very first thing that happens, we run aground at West Point. We're stopped. The tide is going out. Pete was brilliant. Pete takes the yawl boat and some crew members, and they take the anchor out into the river. And they drop the anchor, and they have a line from the anchor to the capstan at the bow. And we are now walking around the capstan. And as we take up the line, it's pulling the boat further and further out into the river until finally the boat comes loose. And we're on our way. By evening, there's a giant storm going. You can't sail. Even with the engine, the whole thing is a mess. We're going to spend the night at Sandy Hook. We're just being tossed around in this water, and we go in backwards. In the morning, we left Sandy Hook, on our way to Washington. We're in this horrible storm. The boat is being tossed around. We wake up in the morning, and some of the boxes on the deck got washed overboard. At that point, everybody's more or less seasick. The heads were in the bow. We're living in the cabin, and you had to get all the way to the front of the boat, and the boat is just bouncing around like a cork. But we rigged lines, so if you had to go to the bathroom, you could hold on to a rope and get yourself from here to there. And at some point, the radio didn't work, so we have no way of really communicating to anybody. There was no navigation. The only thing we really had was a compass. Nobody knows where anything is. Somebody hears a bell buoy, and we sail to the bell buoy. And when you get up close enough, you can read the number off the buoy. When you read the number, you look at the map, you say, aha, here's where we are. And now you know you should go southwest so many degrees. So after a while, you hear another buoy, and you go over and you listen for it, you head towards it, you read its number, and you know you're on your way. We did that several times. We now are going to head inland. We go around Cape May, New Jersey, and there's a thing called the Chesapeake and Delaware Canal. It was 8 o'clock at night. Everybody's very tired from all these storms. So the captain says, you're going to drive through this canal, because I'm not really a sailor. He tells me how to do this. Just says, stay in the middle. Let us know if anything bad happens. And they all went to sleep. And I spent 9 o'clock at night till 6 in the morning steering the boat through this trench. We got to Washington. Pete gave a concert. And we produced a morality play. All these Congress people have come and are sitting there. So the staff is working, and they're, oh, it's going to be a Pete Seeger concert down in the auditorium. Let's go see that. And 2 years later, Nixon signed the Clean Water Act. At the time, and even to this day, I believe we were instrumental in making that happen. The fact that we exposed 400 Congress people to the situation on the Hudson enabled the government to see the wisdom of passing the Clean Water Act.